So our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 20, and it can be found on page 160 of the Church Bibles. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Much. In every way, for in the first place the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Although everyone is a liar, let God be proved true, as it is written, so that you may be justified in your words and prevail in your judging. But if our injustice serves to confirm the justice of God, what should we say? That God is unjust to inflict wrath upon us? I speak in a human way. By no means, for then how could God judge the world? But if through my falsehood God's truthfulness abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not say, as some people slander us by saying that we say, let us do evil so that good may come? Their condemnation is deserved. What then? Are we any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. Their throats are open graves. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of vipers is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, my name's Anna. If I've not met you, I'm one of the ordinands training at Trinity College. Let's just pray as we begin. O Lord, open our ears to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you now and always. Amen. Tonight I'll be focusing on Paul's key message throughout this section of Romans, that nobody can be made righteous through the law. Paul's original hearers would have been a mix of Jewish and Gentile Christians in Rome. Someone who is a Gentile is basically just someone who is non-Jewish, so many would have been Greek. And during today's reading, Paul appears primarily to be addressing the Jewish Christians in the Roman Church. Throughout this section of Romans, the phrase the law is used repeatedly, and so it's really important we have a think about what that means. So please, can you just spend a few minutes now discussing with the people next to you, what is the law and what is the purpose of the law? Then in a few minutes, you'll have a chance to share your ideas with the wider group. So Roger Bowen, in his commentary on Romans, has suggested that in Romans, the law commonly refers to four different things. So you really would have been safe with a range of answers. So first, it can refer to the Jewish scriptures as a whole, so what we would often refer to as the Old Testament. Or it can just refer to a part of the Jewish scriptures, so the first five books of the Bible, for example, the Pentateuch. Or it can refer to the will of God for human behavior, which Roger Bowen suggests is the most common usage in Romans, and that sometimes refers to God's will in written form, such as the commandments, but also refers to people's ability to discern between right and wrong and then act in accordance with God's will. And then finally, it can be used to refer to a principle or guiding rule. And whichever of those understandings is taken, what Paul is very clear about is that our righteousness does not come from following the law, and that even if we followed the law perfectly, we could not make ourselves right with God. Righteousness refers to our goodness, our morality, our justice, our honour. And to be made righteous is the idea of becoming justified. And we can never achieve this righteousness on our own by following the law. We need Jesus. From chapter 1, Paul has been developing an argument to show that not only the Gentiles, but also the Jews, are under the power of sin. And that the law, however it is understood, whichever those four understandings, cannot make us right with God. Now, many Jews may have wanted to challenge this idea. After all, they would have said they are God's chosen people, his covenant people. And Paul is not denying that, but he is challenging any Jews who may have seen themselves as superior to the Gentiles by reminding them that all people, Jews and Gentiles, are sinful and in need of God's mercy and grace. And as we heard at the start of verse 10, where he quotes Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, he says, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one." So during the first part of our reading, from verses 1 to 8, Paul starts to defend God's faithfulness. He wants to show that God isn't being unfair to the Jews by holding them to account along with the Gentiles. In fact, the Jews had been given God's message, which is referred to as his oracles in that reading, and so could be said to be held to an even higher standard than the Gentiles. The Message translation has a really good version of those verses, so I'm just going to read that out. So what difference does it make? Who's a Jew and who isn't? Who has been trained in God's ways and who hasn't? As it turns out, it makes a lot of difference, but not the difference so many have assumed. First, there's the matter of being put in charge of writing down and caring for God's revelation, these holy scriptures. So what if, in the course of doing that, some of those Jews abandoned their post? God didn't abandon them. Do you think their faithlessness cancels out his faithfulness? Not on your life. Depend on it. God keeps his word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Scripture says the same. Your words stand fast and true. Rejection doesn't faze you. But if our wrongdoing only underlies and confirms God's right doing, shouldn't we be commended for helping out? Since our bad words don't even make a dent in his good words, isn't it wrong of God to back us to the wall and hold us to our word? These questions come up. The answer to such questions is no, a most emphatic no. How else would things ever get straightened out if God didn't do the straightening? It's simply perverse to say, if my lies serve to show off God's truth all the more gloriously, why blame me? I'm doing God a favor. Some people are actually trying to put such words in our mouths, claiming that we go around saying, the more evil we do, the more good God does, so let's just do it. That's pure slander. I'm sure you'll agree. Paul is pointing out that just because he has argued that the law cannot make you righteous, that doesn't mean he is saying that people can behave however they want. And he is challenging and correcting anyone who may be claiming that that is what he is saying. Many scholars have now challenged the idea that the dominant belief within Judaism was that you could earn God's favor by following the law. Instead, the Jews generally saw God's law as a sign that they were his chosen people, and that as his people, they followed his will. Unfortunately, some see Christianity as a set of rules they have to follow. While we may know deep down that it is through faith and God's grace that we are made righteous, we may not live our daily lives in that knowledge. Instead, we may seek to earn our righteousness. We may see Christianity as a tick list of things we must do to be a good or better Christian. And this reminds me of a set of weights. Rather than accepting God's free gift of grace, we create requirements for ourselves that we have to follow. Maybe we start off with saying, you have to read the Bible every day. And then we say, you should probably pray every day as well. And then you should probably give money to your church. And you should probably give money to some other places as well. And then you should volunteer at maybe a local care home. And then you should probably go on an overseas mission trip just to kind of keep that going. And you should probably fast a couple of days a week as well. And etc., etc., it soon adds up. And I'm not going to try and lift it. Should stay. Hopefully I don't destroy the floor either. But soon we've created a whole list of extra requirements that we have to follow in order to be made righteous. Now, I am not saying that any of those things are bad in themselves. They are good things, but they do not make us righteous. And adding on all those requirements can be so destructive. As we pile up more and more requirements upon ourselves, we only become more aware of our own sinfulness. And Paul warns of exactly that in verse 20. He says, "For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes knowledge of sin." Or in the words of John Zeisler, "The law holds everyone accountable to God. But while it excellently exposes the need for salvation, it cannot itself provide that salvation." Instead, our awareness of our sinfulness should lead us to repentance, which should lead us back to God, who is the only one who can make us righteous. We are not meant to stay in a place of sin, suffering, or guilt. Instead, as we realize that it is through God's grace and not through our own hard work that we are made righteous, we are set free. That doesn't mean we shouldn't grow as Christians. We should desire to be more like Jesus. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek after holiness. We should seek after holiness. But that is different from earning our righteousness or salvation. Paul appears to have used Jewish writings to support his argument throughout this whole section. And one particular passage from the Wisdom of Solomon relates directly to this. "But you, our God, are kind and true, patient, and ruling all things in mercy. For even if we sin, we are yours, knowing your power. But we do not sin, because we know that you acknowledge us as yours. For to know you is complete righteousness." In other words, God, we know that because you are kind, true, patient, and merciful, that even if we sin, you will save us through our grace. But we will try not to sin because we want to do your will, although that we know our righteousness comes from you, not from ourselves or our actions. We saw earlier that one understanding of the law is the will of God, and we should desire to live according to God's will. However, this is not what saves us and not what makes us righteous. We are made righteous through faith, which, as we heard last week, is a gift. This passage helps us see that the law enables us to recognize our sinfulness and the suffering we cause ourselves by trying to live up to an ideal, and lets us lay down our guilt and instead accept God's free gift of grace. So how might we respond to this message? I spoke of the weight we pile on ourselves and carry around when we create extra requirements in order to feel we've earned our salvation. I wonder if you need to take some time this evening to remember that you are saved by grace through faith and not through your own work or actions. I'd like to invite you to spend a few moments now in quiet, considering the weights in your own life, what they might be. You might like to sit with your hands open as a sign of letting go of these weights and being open to receive God's grace afresh. And then in a few moments, I'll pray for us all. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. And we thank you that it is through your grace we are saved. And we lift to you anything that has been weighing us down, that we have added on to try and earn our salvation and to earn our righteousness. And we pray that you will fill us afresh with your grace and help us to remember in every moment of our days that we are saved through grace, not through the law. Amen.